Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has spoken peace to our hearts and has given us assurance of His constant presence and of His abiding love. We thank Thee for it. We pray now as we study in Thy Word that Thou wilt, by Thy Holy Spirit, show us the things of Christ, that we may prosper in these things. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. As we continue our study in the Gospel of Matthew, we are studying just now in the Sermon on the Mount, and we're continuing in chapter 5 to follow through the various illustrations our Lord Jesus uses by which He emphasizes that true righteousness must go beyond, exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. More than just what could be figured out to be, shall I say, the requirements of the law and the external conformity to those requirements. But there is to be an inner relationship with God that amounts to a genuine responding to the will of God in all things. And the Lord Jesus has been illustrating this. He first illustrated it with the matter of killing, pointing out that the commandment, thou shalt not kill, meant far more than just not taking a man's life. It meant not hating him or having in your heart and mind any kind of ill will toward him. So with reference to this one, thou shalt not commit adultery, meant far more than the actual act of adultery. It meant that you should not foster in your mind such thoughts. The same is true with reference to other ideas, such as thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Far more than just making real sure that when you call on God, you're telling the truth, but you should at all times tell the truth. Now we're going on with our study in chapter 5, and we'll begin at verse 38, and we will see that the true righteousness, the righteousness of God, the righteousness of the kingdom of God, shall I say, the righteousness which will appear in a man when the will of God is being done in his life, will go beyond the requirements, beyond what is actually required by justice, for example. Now let us notice here in verse 38, from verses 38 to 42, is a passage that is very widely referred to. Let us look at it. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Now, when the Lord Jesus is putting these things out, he is, as I say, emphasizing that in the righteousness which comes from God, in the kind of living that happens when the will of God is being done in the life, in the heart, and in the mind, it will go beyond requirements. Now, when he has, in this passage that I read to you, much of this is based upon the requirements that had been set out in the law of Moses. When you have this expression, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, you have justice. And that's fair. That's already a long piece beyond human nature. Justice in any given situation is already love in action. Because in any given quarrel between two people, one will be more responsible for starting at the other. And if you give them both justice, you're giving some people a treatment they don't deserve. And yet justice is required. But the Lord Jesus would say that real, true righteousness goes beyond the law, goes beyond the requirements. And so he would say, for example, that you resist not evil, meaning to say, if someone does you personal harm, that eye for an eye, and you lose the eye, that you do not personally try to pay him back. Whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. is a good deal more reasonable and rational than it sounds to many people. This is not the kind of thing that human nature can do. This is not the kind of thing that any one man is asked to do for any other man. This is the kind of thing you're to understand will happen if the will of God is being done in your life. If you have the will of God in your heart and you want to do what he would have you do, you will find that he would have you take an attitude toward people of such a nature that if they do harm to you, you do not repay them with harm to them. You just don't pay them back. That's what this means. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Now, you might wonder, well, how in the world could a man sue me at the law to take away my coat? You'd have to know the law of Moses, and you'd have to realize that this is something being said to Jewish people, because in the Old Testament times, in the time of Moses, there was actually spelled out for them the requirements of living acceptably to God. And one of them was such a practical thing as this, that if a man were working in a field a long piece from home, and the weather changed suddenly so that night came on and he didn't have sufficient garments so that he had to walk home several miles and it was real cold, he could go into any other Jewish home and ask for a coat. And the Jew would be required to give it to him. I don't know that it would mean necessarily he'd give it to him to keep forever, but he'd give it to him for that night. He was to use it. He could come in and ask for it, and according to the law of Moses, this man was required to give him a coat. And the Lord Jesus says, don't give him the coat only because you have to, according to the law. Give him a sweater, too. Give him your cloak also. Put some more with it. In other words, don't do only what you have to. Go more than that if you have the real thing in your heart and mind. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. And we often speak of going the second mile. Well, now, have you ever tried to figure out, has it ever occurred to you to wonder, how in the world can anybody compel you to go with him 1 mile? That would be, if you were a Jew, it could be done, because they had it like this. Suppose that a man were at work in the field, and night came on before he was finished with his job, and he was 4 or 5 miles from home. Now, in that country, there are no policemen. There were no protection. There was no protection for such a man. Such a man could go into any Jewish home and ask for an escort, and they would have to escort him 1 mile. They wouldn't have to go take him all the way home, but they'd have to take him 1 mile. Then he could go into another home, get an escort for another mile. So the Lord Jesus is saying, if you've got the real will of God in your heart, the real righteousness which comes from God, you won't only go 1 mile because it'll help him. You'll go 2. Because if it helps him to go 1, it'll help him more to go a second one. So you'll go a second mile. When he says, give to him that asketh of thee, and turn not from him, and him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away, that was in the book of Deuteronomy. That idea was there. In other words, if someone came and asked, if one Jewish brother came to another Jewish brother, our Israelite came to another Israelite and asked him for help, this man was to give it to him. Now, you will keep in mind that if he was to loan him anything, for example, it would be expected that he would return it. But every 7 years, all debts were canceled, with the result that because every 7 years all debts were canceled, there were some people who didn't want to lend anything in the sixth year. They didn't want to lend any money in years 5 or 6 because they'd say the man won't pay it back. He knows in the seventh year it'll be canceled. And the law of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy said that if the man was in need and came to you for help and it was the sixth year, you'd give it to him anyway, even though you knew in the seventh year it would be canceled. Now, they required that because they were trying to create a situation in which God could live with his people. That's not human nature. This has nothing to do with the way human beings would deal with each other. But this has to do with the way people would deal with each other if they wanted to do right in the sight of God. Now, you're going to do for the poor because God will require that. And if you were just doing right from the standpoint of doing what God wants you to do, you'd have to do for the poor. But the Lord Jesus is saying, if you had the root of the matter in you, if you had really had the Spirit of God in your heart, you would do more than the law requires because you'd want to help this person more. Then we come in verse 43 to probably one of the most difficult things to understand of all. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And you might say to yourself, well, now, in the first place, why in the world would I want to do that? You might also wonder how. But why? Well, he tells you in the next verse that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, so that you can start looking like God. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Since God does so many things so graciously to sow to all people, whether they turn to him or not, you and I, if we have the Spirit of God in our hearts, our outlook upon all mankind will be to do them good as far as we can. Some of these will be people that are opposed to us. Now, when it says here, love your enemies, it doesn't mean love your enemies more than you do your friends. It doesn't mean love your enemies in place of your friends. It means love your enemies in spite of the fact that they're your enemies, because you belong to God who makes his sun shine on everybody. Bless them that curse you, not because they curse you. Bless them in spite of the fact that they curse you. Don't just wait until they curse you and then bless them. Have an attitude of doing good to all people so the man doesn't appreciate it. So the man goes against you. Do it anyway. Why? Because he deserves it? No. Because you're going to make money out of it? No. But do it because that's the way God would do it. Let the will of God be done in you, is what the Lord Jesus would say. And what he is saying just now is that if you really belong to God, this is the way in which it will really work with you. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That is, be mature, be grown up, and be complete, just as if as your Father in heaven would be. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to our thinking on these things. Give us the grace in our hearts to let the will of God be done in us. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.